This is Full Logic Reverse. I'm your host, Mike Thornton. We hope you'll stay tuned. And I am very happy to have Jerry Tefenkian with us, who is with Genetics Alert. Jerry, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate that you were able to be with us on somewhat short notice, I might add, and you graciously decided to not only be on the program, but also to extend the time that you would be with us, which was very helpful today. Can you let our listeners know about Genetics Alert and what that's all about?
Sure. Genetics Alert is a new organization. So far, it's just a small handful of volunteers. And the purpose is really to help relay to the news media and thereby to the public different kinds of actions against genetic engineering. And the idea is to help the public be much more aware of this new and rather frightening technology that's now out in the environment and in the foods that we're eating.
One of the things that most listeners who listen to this program are, I think, pretty well educated on the topic of genetically engineered organisms and genetically engineered foods. We talk very often with people who come at that from somewhat of a scientific background. I don't know what your background is personally, but what we're really talking about in terms of Genetics Alert is actually news from the front lines, if you will, correct?
Right. We have kind of a unique role in that the information that we're relaying to the news media comes through anonymous sources. I get anonymous emails regarding different kinds of actions that have taken place. People send communiques claiming responsibility for knocking over genetically engineered corn crops or other kinds of things, and then I drop a release and send that off to the media.
So what we have is groups such as Genetics who are actually out, going out into fields and uprooting these test crops in some cases, or university test crops, or corporate test crops, and going out and actually tearing these plants out of the ground as a way of direct action, protesting corporate genetic engineering of food, correct?
Right, exactly. And they really see this as, the groups that are doing this really see this as a very direct protest. Some articles referred to them as vandals, and I think that's very misleading and a wrong interpretation of what's going on. This is very much a political act, not unlike the Boston Tea Party, Underground Railroad, other things in our history where people have taken action which is against the stated laws, but they see it in the context of stopping a greater wrong. And it's really a wake-up call to those who are doing this work, those who are perpetuating genetic engineering, and to those of us who are passively supporting it through consuming the goods and through allowing our government to take such a laissez-faire stance on this new technology.
We're talking with Jerry Tefenkian, who is with Genetics Alert, and we're talking about what's happening on the front lines regarding the mounting protest against genetically engineered food. Jerry, let me ask you, because I know from the work that I've been doing is that in Europe there has really been a much more organized, a much more militant protest to genetically engineered foods, and it sounds like that same type of action is now beginning to build steam here in the United States, correct?
Right. First of all, just as a quick aside, my first name is Jeffrey.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Okay. Yes, certainly, Great Britain and throughout Europe, there's been a huge groundswell of opposition to these crops, and they're a little bit ahead of the game compared to us in the U.S. We're still a little asleep at the wheel, but as you say, things are picking up. There have been, I think, about 40 direct actions in Great Britain in the last year. And since, let's see, there was one that we know about in 1998 in the U.S., and then earlier this year there were a couple in July in California, then there were three in August, and so far looks like five in September, just this month. So things seem to be increasing, the activity seems to be increasing almost exponentially here.
Talk, if you will, about, well, let me see, how do I phrase this word make sense? I mean, here you are. When we talked earlier, before we went on air, I said it, in talking about what you were doing, it was almost akin to Sinn Féin in its own way.
Uh-huh.
Talk a little bit about what it's like, you know, doing what you're doing at Genetics Alert.
It is unlike other things that I've done. My background is really working on other kinds of advocacy issues, other kinds of environmental campaigns, and consumer issues and public health and safety kinds of issues, very much with organizations and individuals who are very much above ground and out in the public. And so this is a little bit different to be doing media outreach for people that I don't know, I never have seen, never will see, that I just get these anonymous communiques sent to my email and describing the action that they took. So it is a little unusual. I think it's not the kind of thing that people do every day. But I'm doing this because I see this as just a crucial issue that's not getting near the attention in this country that it deserves, and through publicizing these kinds of actions, I think we really do help help people really ask and answer the questions. Are these technologies things that we want? Is it right to be releasing these new life forms into the environment? What implications might that have? Do we really want to be eating this and serving this to our children? Similar to the kind of nonviolent actions that Gandhi took in India, it's really forcing people to ask the tough questions, and it's kind of confronting the issues in that way.
We're talking with Jeffrey Tufenkian of Genetics Alert. Jeffrey, let me ask you a question, because one of the things that always seems to be somewhat of a, bone of contention, for lack of a better phrase, right at this moment, is that there are people who, they say protest, and then there are people who say protest and go do stuff. And it sounds to me, and from what I know, people like Genetics are protesting and doing stuff. It seems sometimes that, in the long run, that to me seems to be a lot more effective than a lot of people sitting around writing their congressmen and all of that. I'm just wondering, have you had anybody express to you any conflict about the kind of things that Genetics is doing? I mean, I'm talking about people who would generally agree that genetically engineered food is probably not a good thing. We don't know what's going to happen as a result of it. But that every so often I have people accuse me of being too militant, and they every so often accuse me of advocating violence. I don't think I do that, but there seems to be sometimes people saying, you can protest and all of that, but God forbid that you would actually get out in the field and tear up the crops. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that, first of all, a disclaimer here, that Genetics Alert doesn't advocate these kinds of illegal acts either, but really seeks to explain why people do this. And I also support an approach of working through the system and letting our elected officials know how we feel on this. And I think that's something that we all need to do. I one person referred to it as brushing your teeth. You know, you don't necessarily see the results every day, but it's something you do regularly and it's part of the process. But I think the people that are doing these kinds of direct actions have realized how much of a revolving door there is between the agencies such as the FDA that are supposedly protecting us from these hazards and the industries who are seeking to profit from this. Where key officials have gone from the regulatory agency to work for the industry and vice versa, and that this is a process that has eluded democratic input largely, and people have taken it into their own hands to get out and take some direct action because the process is not working at this point.
Are you ready to take a phone call?
Sure.
Caller, you're live on the air.
Hello, Mike and Jeffrey. This is Alan.
Hi, Alan.
Hi.
I certainly can't endorse illegal actions, but I want to say that it's really important. The headlines that these actions have been making seem to be the major headlines that genetic engineering makes at all. So it's good to see, finally, this issue getting a little bit more into the public discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to put, this is just one of my own druthers, but I'd really prefer not to call it genetic engineering because engineering has a connotation, even if it's not always or not even often true, but there's this connotation that when you're engineering something, you're doing it precisely, and you know just what you're doing,
and you can predict
mathematically what's going to happen. And playing around with genes, we don't even know that we're putting in just one gene. There could be other genes that are going along for the ride. So I prefer to call it, as the Europeans do, a genetic manipulation.
Or genetically modified tends to be the more common, what we see more commonly in other countries.
Well, point being,
I think genetic manipulation is more accurate.
Point being is that really they're doing this stuff, Alan, but what they're doing is, I mean, they're kind of guessing. I mean, it's nowhere near that precise is what I'm hearing you say.
Right, because you don't know just how many there are strings of DNA, but the genome is so complex that there will be strings of what seems to be meaningless DNA, but just because we can't read it doesn't mean it's meaningless, doesn't mean it doesn't do anything.
Exactly.
And you pick up a piece of DNA, even if you do know what it means, you don't know exactly how long it is, or if you're picking up another piece that goes along with it, eventually we might be able to tell that, but it's going to take an awful lot of research. And right now we're essentially just picking up genes, and who knows how many genes, putting them in there and hoping for the best.
Thank you for calling in, Alan.
Okay.
And we're talking about direct action regarding genetic manipulation or genetic modifying or genetic engineering with Jerry. I keep wanting to call you Jerry, and I'm sorry. It's Jeffrey. And Jeffrey Tefenkian, who is with Genetics Alert. Jeffrey, let me ask you a question, but let me get this phone call first.
Okay.
Caller, you're live on the air.
My concern is what your guest said earlier, that we're participating, passively by eating the food. Well, the problem is that they don't label the food.
Good point.
And we need to address that. That's the only way to fight it that I can see. Education and then labeling, forcing them to label the food. Thanks.
Thank you. Well, certainly labeling is an issue, correct?
Correct. It is a big issue. And I know there are organizations that are working to get labeling. There's actually work underway to draft some federal legislation which would require labeling, so that's in the early stages. The caller is certainly right. Unless we're eating organic produce and organic foods, we don't know whether it's genetically engineered or genetically modified or not. And that's a real problem for those of us who want to avoid it. For example, half of the soybean crops in the U.S. are genetically modified right now. About a third of the corn crops are. A large percentage of the canola seed that makes canola oil, rapeseed that makes canola oil, is genetically engineered. Cotton, potatoes, tomatoes, dairy products, and animal products, since they're eating a lot of the genetically engineered grains, are affected as well.
I'd kind of like to go back to something that Alan brought up, because I'm thinking in terms of, you know, you brought up the issue of the Boston Tea Party, and now that it's after the American Revolution, the Boston Tea Party is looked at this, you know, great moment in the fight for freedom and democracy mm-hmm. and patriotism and all of that. Now, I'm sure that at the time that that happened, the English were going, criminals, vandals,
right.
bad guys, how dare you do this to our stuff, illegal. And yet, when we have groups like Genetics that are out doing this type of direct action, it seems like, you know, people are going, bad guys, criminals, vandals, and most people just sort of buy that, and at the same time, we'll turn around and talk about the bravery of the founding fathers.
Right, exactly. And, yeah, I mean, time helps lend perspective to these kinds of issues that is not there in the moment. Gandhi has a great quote, first they ignore you, then they ridicule you, then they fight you, and then you win. So it's
I like
not,
that.
You know, to be expected that those who have a vested interest in this technology and those of us who have heard, in most cases, nothing but good about this, technology and all the wonders, you know, oh, you know, it's gonna help feed the world and you know, we need these and we're gonna be able to create these great new medicines from doing this and so then when we start to hear some negative things, we might question that if we've only heard positive things to this point. And so yeah, it's only to be expected that people will put this down and say, oh, it's a terrible thing, these vandals, et cetera. But let's look a little deeper at what's going on here and who are the real criminals. You know, are the people that go out and knock down a few rows of genetically engineered corn the real criminals, or are these mega corporations that are seeking to control, really controlling life by patenting these seeds and then maintaining a lock hold on those, you know, who's the greater criminal? Those that are knocking down the corn or controlling these seeds and then engineering these things to be able to only survive, for example, the Monsanto Terminator seed, only survive another year to regerminate if they use the Monsanto pesticides while they're growing.
Well, and you bring up a really, really important point because it gets down to the basics. I mean, regardless of anything else, eventually it comes down to the fact that we're talking about who will literally control the food supply, and that we're talking about, you know, large mega corporations whose intention it is, or apparent intention it is, to eradicate all other forms of food on the face of the earth mm-hmm. except that which they feel that they own and therefore can sell. And once they control the majority of foodstuffs on the face of the earth, they can sell that for whatever the market will bear, and starving people will pay a lot. I mean, that's the kind of thing that we're actually talking about when we get down to the final analysis of it all.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure the people in developing countries will do a lot worse than knock down a few rows of genetically engineered corn when we come to that point.
We're speaking with Jeffrey Tufenkian of Genetics Alert. Jeffrey, are you ready to take another phone call?
Sure.
Caller, you're live on the air.
Yeah, Mike, there's been some good coverage by you over time on this issue, and what came up for me while you were talking just now is that all organizations that are concerned about food security for especially the third world, because they live in a different way, they save their seeds and plant for the next year, the economy and the food availability would really be strained by corporations farming the third world. So it's an evil concept and theme. It destroys food security for most of the world. It cannot be, it's not economically viable for the third world to suffer these kinds of controls, and it also destroys seeds. Last thought, and I forget where I read this, during the Russian Revolution and famines and civil war, the Russians that maintained the seed stock, these scientists beyond the politics, starved themselves to death and didn't eat the seed stocks because they were so precious. They actually starved themselves to death and were found dead. But, you know, to me, that's the ethic that we should return to, that these seeds are critically valuable and that diversity be maintained and nothing be created, genetically engineered, that could undermine God's tried and true millions of years of testing in natural environment. You know, that they have been tried and true. They're not dangerous. They're not poisonous. They won't kill other things. They're in balance. The new genetics, engineering, how do we know, and when will we find out that they've created a bomb they weren't intending to, because now it's spreading? Maybe an intestinal E. coli, you know, something that they were, I think our intestinal tracts are in great danger because they use E. coli as the base for a lot of you know, bacteria investigation, and if that got loose and infected us and we couldn't digest our food, just that minor thing has been a concern all along, that we chose E. coli, and that's the worst thing you could do because it spreads to humans really quickly. So anyway, it goes on, and thanks for covering that.
We're speaking with Jeffrey Tufenkian with Genetics Alert. Jeffrey, we just have a few minutes left, and what I wanted to do was to ask you a couple of questions. One is that the only way that people can get information about what some of these groups are doing, does that only go out to media, or is the way that anybody who has email could get that? And then also, too, do you have any final thoughts for our audience today?
First of all, there's some great resources on the World Wide Web. There's a website that keeps track of these kinds of direct actions, and if people want to take out a pen and paper, the address, the site is called BAND, short for Bioengineering Action Network, and the address is www.dao.ca/squiggle, whatever that curvy line is, BAN/. And there's another good resource, Safe Food, www.safe-food.org, and more specific page, /consumer/foods.html. And there are many others, but those will give some links as well.
Certainly. Any final words for our audience today?
I really appreciate you giving this some focus, and I know you've focused on this issue before. And I think these actions are just part of a growing rejection of genetic engineering here, and really see this as a crucial issue to be able to protect our environment, our natural resources, and in our own health, is we really need to stop this one way or another.
Jeffrey Tufenkian of Genetics Alert, thank you for being with us on the program today.
Thank you very much.
This is Full Logic Reverse. We'll be back in just a few moments. I was listening to Audie Bach on KVMR last Wednesday, and I have to tell you that, frankly, I'm kind of frightened. Bach, who is the first Green Party candidate elected to state office here in California, made some statements about lobbying and lobbyists that I found somewhat incredulous. Ms. Bach talked about how legislators could use lobbyists as volunteer researchers and that they were needed to help legislators understand what's happening regarding certain bills. And if what I heard was correct, that California legislatures couldn't function without them. Now, I'm not sure that this is what she meant, and I can't judge Audie Bach on anything but a record, which we will all be able to see in due time. But to say that she will rely on the information and analysis provided by lobbyists as a major source for the data bank on which decisions are made is, in my opinion, a bad, bad thing. And to think that she'll be able to do that and maintain her integrity as an advocate for the people, well, it just doesn't compute. Add to that the statement that she's already talking about how much she likes being in the mix in the Capitol and already talking about how long it'll take to pass good legislation. I fear we'll see a lot more professional lobbyists in Audie's office than the citizen lobbyists she thinks are going to be spending all day in Sacramento, hanging around, trying to talk with legislators at the same time they're trying to feed their families and pay the rent and the phone bill, going to meetings and working on issues as volunteers. Audie, come on. Who are you trying to convince, me or yourself? You will be surrounded by lobbyists for big business, big unions, corporate environmental groups, and every other organization that can afford to keep a presence in Sacramento. They are going to be the ones that will be doing your analysis, providing you information, and not to mention offering you the money needed to stay in power. You will be inundated by these folks who are paid to do what they do, and paid quite well, I might add. One doesn't need to look too far to discover who can afford to pay these lobbyists, and more importantly, who can't. I predict that you will never cancel an appointment with a paid lobbyist because you receive a call from an upset constituent. I will also predict that you will cancel an appointment with an upset constituent because a lobbyist from a big money special interest group wants to advise you about an upcoming bill. This is the way the system corrupts. Oh, I know that when I wanted your vote and I was running for office, I said a lot of things like the system is corrupted by lobbyists and big money campaign contributions. But now that I'm here, I see what a use these people are. And of course, since it takes years to pass good legislation, I need to get reelected. It's a process of compromise. But the compromises I make are for the greater good. And besides, everyone around me seems like a nice person, and everyone is a special interest. I know I'll hold a town meeting once a year, so I get to hear from my constituents, and that will balance out the constant drumbeat of the professional lobbyists. And, gee, Audie, just imagine what you could do as a congresswoman or governor. Can I introduce you to someone? Just right over here. Excuse me, Audie. Waiter, can you bring us another champagne cocktail? Look, Audie, I know that on the surface it seems a little shady, but look at this report from our research department. I know you're busy and it's a big document. Here's the executive summary. By the way, how's your reelection campaign going? I was meaning to give you this check last week, but since I'm here now... Seen any citizen lobbyists lately, Audie? Audie, it's Cokie Roberts on the phone. She's wondering if she can set up a meeting with you and her uncle, Tommy Boggs. Cokie Roberts? For me? Sure. What time? Well, we'll have to cancel that meeting with that neighborhood group. Okay, tell them I'm sorry, but I'll get back with them as soon as possible. Sounds like the beginning of the end to me. I sure hope that I'm wrong.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Full Logic Reverse. I'm your host, Mike Thornton. It's been my pleasure to be part of the team bringing you this edition of the program today. If you'd like more information about Full Logic Reverse, you can contact us via email, flr@jps.net, or by phone, 530-265-9462. We invite you to join us next time for another edition of Full Logic Reverse.